We're in a series. This morning we're looking at the third message in our series entitled, We Are Family. And in our first two messages, we looked at how to get along with the family. This week, and probably next week, we'll be looking at how we are to treat the family. Now, many of us in this room are at different stages when it comes to interacting with the family. Some of you are doing it great. Some of you, this is you. You are doing it, and you're in people's lives. You know what's going on. You're trying to encourage. You're weeping with those that weep. You're rejoicing with those that rejoice. And my encouragement to you this morning is I just pray that this message will encourage you, just to keep it up. Some of you, not so much. You want to, and you every once in a while you'll step out a little bit, like you put your foot in the water, but it just isn't working for you like it should. So my prayer for you this morning has been that God will direct you on how to become family. And then there's some of you that have no desire to be family and have no desire to get plugged into what's going on. And my prayer for you this morning was that God would convict you. So that's where we are. We're looking at family and what God, because what we're going to look at isn't what the latest book says. It's not going to look at what Brian thinks. We're going to say what God says about the importance of family. We need to remember that family is important to God. So family needs to be important to us. For the family to work, it has to begin individually. We have to see ourselves as God's family. See ourselves as God's, as brothers and sisters. And we should be closer brothers and sisters as God's family than even we are with our physical unsaved brothers and sisters. Because being part of God's family, we have that common bond living within each one of us, that bond of the Holy Spirit. Now, please understand that in order for this church, Center Barnstable Christian Church, or any church, to operate as God designed His family to operate, we cannot refuse to do family because someone in the family hurts me, or someone in the family doesn't reciprocate when I reach out to them, or someone in the family doesn't agree with me on everything, or someone in the family and you fill in your blank that keeps you from doing family. If we're serious about our walk with God, and I believe you are because you're here this morning, but if we're serious about our walk with God, then being an active member in the family is part of it. Matter of fact, God says that it needs to be a priority for every one of us. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. And then what does he say? Especially to those who belong to the family. Paul says, God says, listen, it's great to do good things for people, but you need to especially do it, he said, to those who belong to the family of believers. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. I think it would be good as we go back into this study looking at the family. I think it would be good for us not to forget that when Christ rose from the dead, many things changed. Not only were our sins paid for, but how we interact with God was changed. How we interact with each other was changed, as we saw in Romans 14. What kind of foods we can now eat was changed, as we saw in Acts chapter 10. And today, we'll see in Ephesians 5 that family interaction has changed as well, all because of the resurrection. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I haven't studied this out, so I don't know if this is true. I'm just saying it off the top of my head. If you come to the first book you come to with, that begins with E, that's probably Ephesians. Because I think it's the only book in the New Testament that begins with E. Ephesians chapter 5. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So it's right in the middle. Galatians chapter 5, follow with me as we read verses 15 to 21. Galatians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Verse 15 says this, "Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." When it comes to connecting with the family, Paul says, number one, be very careful. Be very careful. Look at verse 15 again with me. It says, "Be very careful then how you live." How many of you have ever done something really, 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 really stupid? Yeah. Okay, who would like to share their personal story? Yeah. Yeah, me neither. Yeah, me neither. But you know, often we do stupid things because we are not paying close attention to how we're living. And before we know it, we are paying the consequence of living poorly. Now remember, when you want to know what a text means, what is the best way to determine it? Read it in context. That's right. It's important when you try to discern the Scripture. You let Scripture interpret Scripture. So when Paul talks about how we should live, he's referring back to verses 1 and 2. So look at verses 1 and 2 with me of Ephesians 5. He says this in verse 1, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." Now, who are dearly loved children? That's us. That's the family. That's God's family. He says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So, chapter 5 of Ephesians has to do with family. Because we are family, Paul says, be very careful how you live. We are God's children, and our lives should be imitating God in our relationships with each other. Secondly, he says, be wise. Look at verse 15 again with me. He said, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise. Now, you already know this, so this isn't necessarily a newsflash, but everyone that is smart is not necessarily wise. You can have an IQ of 140 and have little or no wisdom. How many of you know somebody like that? Their IQ ain't that high either, but they still have no wisdom, right?
How do you know?
Because, I'll talk to you afterwards. You know, I know of people, I'm sure you do too, that excel academically, but when it comes to wisdom, they have very little. And why is that? Because wisdom does not come from academic books. True wisdom comes from the book, the Bible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Psalms 111, verse 10. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he said this, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you," what? "Wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. So Paul says, be very careful, be wise. Thirdly, he says, be an achiever. Be an achiever. Look at verse 16 with me. He says, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. I have a friend of mine that runs the Boston Marathon every year. I have to tell you, if my bucket list was 1,000 years, or my bucket list was 1,000 miles long, it would not fit in it. I have no desire to run the Boston Marathon. I have no desire to run any marathon. I don't even have a desire to watch a marathon. But he runs it. But when it comes to marathon running, it doesn't matter how fast you begin. What matters is if you complete the race. Sadly to say, there are many in the faith that start out fast, but they walk away before their race is finished. Their potential never becomes a reality. The work that God had planned for them never becomes finished because they refuse to make the most of every opportunity. You know, for many, we don't master Christian living, so consequently, we don't take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. And when people quit living as family, it doesn't just affect you. It affects the whole family. Question this morning, and don't answer out loud unless you want to, but question, are you making the most of every opportunity to show God's love to your spiritual family? Remember, in context, this is what he's talking about. He says we are to imitate God in our relationships, in our family relationships. We're supposed to love like God loves us. Are you making the most of every opportunity to show God's love to your spiritual family? Or have you quit? How many people in your life and mine are no longer walking with God because we have quit? We have quit being imitators of God. We have quit living a life of love just as Christ loved us. We have quit being willing to allow God to make our lives an offering for Him. We're in a marathon, and we need to be imitating God in our relationships. We need to be loving the members of God's family. Why? Because the days are evil. And you know what? You can read it over and over and over again in the Bible. You will not make it spiritually on your own. You will not be what God wants you to be if you live a life of isolation. It's just the way that God's made us. Even Jesus, right? Even Jesus, when he's going to the cross, doesn't go by himself. Or going to pray in Gethsemane, he doesn't go by himself. He said, hey guys, come with me. Come pray with me. We need to be achievers. We need to be running that marathon. We need to be imitating. We need to be making the investment in the people's lives that God has brought into our life. Number four, he says, be aware. Be aware. Be aware of what? Well, look at verse 17. He tells us, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, it's important to understand also in verse 17 is written in the imperative. What does that mean for you English scholars? Or maybe even those of you that got 70 in English, you should know this. It's a command. So what does that mean? It isn't an option. God's not suggesting we do this. God is commanding that we do this. He is commanding that we be aware of His will. We need to be aware of God's will. Now, Paul uses negatives. He said, do not be foolish, which only reinforces what Paul had previously said to the believers when he pleaded with them in verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Paul says, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. As many of you know, I'm the chaplain over here at the police department. Can anyone quote for me the motto of a police officer? And it's not just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. That's not it. Daniel. Exactly, that's their motto. To serve, to protect and serve. This is their motto. This is their duty. Do you know what the duty of a Christian is? Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commands. For this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. As most of you know, I love simple. Obviously, Judy does too because she married me. But I love simple. And Solomon keeps it simple. God's will or God's duty for every one of us is to fear God and to keep His commandments. So each of us would be wise to live out the Christian motto, to respect God and obey Him. We need to be aware. We need to be aware of God's will. But we also need to be aware, B, of God's control. We need to be aware of God's control. This verse, well, let's look at verse 18 with me. Follow me as I read. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. This verse is paramount to Christian living, to being the right kind of sister or brother. It is one of the most crucial tasks when it comes to living as a member of God's family. Being the family member that God expects us to be can only be attained as we allow our lives to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. If we are out of sync with the Spirit, we will end up living our lives based on what is best for me at the moment. We will isolate ourselves from our family responsibilities. We will be foolish, we'll be unwise, and not living out life by God's standards. And why is that important? Why is it important that we are controlled by the Spirit? Because when we are, it is impossible. And if you're taking notes, you can make a line under impossible. It is impossible when we are living under a life controlled by the Holy Spirit to sin. So I say, live by the Spirit and what? You will not. You will not. What does you will not mean, Dan Ward? Those are three words for you, so I notice I'm pushing you. You will not. He says, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Now, before we look at the characteristics of the Spirit-filled life in regard to the family in verses 19 to 21, Let's take a moment and look what it means to be filled or controlled by the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is not what some would call the second blessing. Being filled or controlled by the Spirit doesn't even happen at salvation. Oh, it's true that the Holy Spirit at salvation moves in and sets up home in the believer. And it's true that the Holy Spirit, when He moves in, He doesn't just throw His arm in or throw His leg in. He comes in 100%. Those things are true. But the controlling part, that comes over time. There are three aspects of being controlled by the Spirit. Number one, you must be saved. You must be saved. You can only have the Spirit of God living in you if you've received the Son of God as your personal Savior. Secondly, God must do a work. God must do a work. Being controlled by the Spirit has to do with us giving up and not us working harder. Third thing, and this is, we'll spend more time on this one. Filled with the Spirit means it takes time to mature. It takes time to mature. The time that it takes to become mature is called progressive sanctification. I think we talked about this maybe a month or so ago. But progressive sanctification, all it is a theological word that means we aren't sanctified or we aren't made perfect until we aren't sanctified, we aren't made perfect the moment we come to know Christ as our Savior. What happens is this. Now, from God's perspective, we are perfect because of the blood of Christ. That's a given. But our physical life, not so much. Our physical life, this human body that the Spirit lives in, does not become perfectly sanctified until we see God. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, and who is He? God, right? We're children of God. But when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as He is pure. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. See, being under the control of the Holy Spirit is a process. For most of us, and even pastors, maybe even more so pastors, it's a slow, steady process of dying to yourself and living for God. But we will also see in this passage that living under the control of the Holy Spirit also requires that we die to ourselves and live for each other. Live for God's family. I was a student in Bible college, and we had no money. Remember that? Yeah, we had none. I mean, it's one thing to trust, to walk by faith and trust God with your backup plan ready to put into place. It's another thing to walk with God, trust Him, and you have nothing but Him. Another story for another time. But anyway, I'm a Bible school student. We had no money. This was even before cable was invented. I think Al Gore was still working on the internet. We probably had, I think it was like a 12-inch TV, right? It was black and white, and it had an antenna on it. We could get, on a good day, we could get as many as three channels if the weather was good. There was no... I mean, I had a 12-inch. I mean, I'm sitting right in front of it. My chair is right in front of it, so I can see it. There's no high def. There is there's no surround sound. No remote. That's the other reason why I sat close, so I could just turn it. Did I mention it's a 12-inch TV and not a 60-inch TV? This still bothers me today. I think that's probably why I can still remember it. Not the TV part, but this part of the story. I hear this knock on the door. The last thing that I want to do this day is to talk to someone. But I peek around the corner to see who's there, and oh, I know him. I know him. And I'm thinking, every time I see this guy, he always wants me to, he wants me to encourage him, or he wants me to give him advice, or he wants me to help him with something, or he's struggling with something. And you know what? That day, I just wanted to watch my football game. And Judy wasn't there, so I must have had the kids locked in the bedroom. Because he didn't know I was home. But I had a choice to make. And that day, I chose the wrong one. I was more interested in me watching a football game on a 12-inch screen than I was to helping someone that needed me. You know, as I look back, I remember the story, but I have no idea who played football that day. I don't know who won. I don't know who lost. I don't even know why I had to watch it. But I did find out later, when I saw him and he talked to me, that he really needed help that day. And I just blew him off. Now, before you become too critical of me, and you have every right to be critical of me, but before you become too critical of me, in our own busy lives, how often do we choose isolation over inclusion? Now, be honest. Be honest. Isn't it easier if we don't have to make time for others? Don't be pious. All right? It is for most of us. That's why we have to choose to do these things. It is easier to do what I want to do and not be dictated by other people. Does life go better when I don't have to think about other people's feelings or other people's schedules or what people like and don't like? Yes, it's easier. But it's not a mature attitude, nor is it God's will. In our maturing process, we need to go outside our norm, outside our comfort zone. And for some of us here today, we need to start looking for people we can have deeper relationships with when we come on Sunday. We need to start looking for some new people. When we ask somebody how they're doing, we need to look them in the eye and mean it. And when they start telling us how they're doing, stop thinking about all the ways to get out of here. But we do that. But that's not mature. That's not God's will. That's not dying to myself and living for the family. It's living for myself and isolating myself from the family. Our oldest grandson, he's 17, right? Just turned 17? 16. And I tell you what, if any of you have grandkids, any granddaughters that are 16, this is a catch. Let me tell you, he is. But he's graduating from high school next year on May 24th, 2019. This picture, I think, he goes on missions trips with his youth group every year, and I think this is last year he was in Jamaica, I think. He's the one, my grandson's the one on the left, just in case you don't know. But you may say, well, that's nice to know, but Pastor, why did you put this date up there? Well, I wanted to give you plenty of time if you want to plan on sending him gifts or financial rewards, or we'd be happy to take them down. But I got to tell you, that date is on my calendar. Judy and I are excited about going. This is a huge accomplishment for my grandson. He's graduating from high school and going on to that next step in physical maturity. So we're making plans to go. I haven't talked to Mark and Mike yet, but I'm sure they'll want me to go. So we're excited about it. We're excited about going. And you might say, well, Pastor, of course you should be, because it's family. And that's an important occasion in his life. Yet, some of you here today have not blocked out August 5th, 2018. And I can tell by some of you, this would be a time to probably not to look at me, but to look down. Because I'm looking at some of you and you're thinking, oh no, what is that? What have I forgotten? Well, even more important than that, some of you have marked it, okay? But it's an important occasion for some of our family members. It is a time when we celebrate the next step in their spiritual life. And that's the church family baptism. This is last year. I know we're going to fix this, aren't we? These pictures are awful. This is, hit push the wrong button. This is John Starkey. You probably can't tell, but that's him. This is Kristen. This is last year's, right? Were you guys baptized last year? This is Kristen, as you can see. This is Jimmy and Amy. You may be wondering, why are they laughing? Well, I just told them that I'm going to dunk them. And they say, no, you're kidding me. And then you laugh, but this is Ernie. He won't let me go. I said, Ernie, I got to dunk you. Oh, no, I'm afraid. But it's family. It's family. And when you're not there, you're missing out. Part of maturing is living out the Christian motto to respect God and obey Him. And part of that respecting God and obeying Him is making His family a priority. It's about being wise and not unwise. It's about making the most of every opportunity. It's about not being foolish, but understanding what God's will is. It's about being controlled by the Holy Spirit in our relationships with our family. Remember I said that Jesus' resurrection changed many things? Well, it did. That's why Jesus had to give us this new marching order. He said, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. John chapter 13, verse 34 and verse 35. Do you think it's hard to love each other like Christ loved us? Of course it is. Of course it is. See, it's not easy to love someone that takes advantage of you. It's not a natural response to love those that we have very little in common with. It's not natural to love those that hurt us, that lie about us, to love those that will not prioritize us as we think we should be. Do you think it was easier for Jesus to love us? If you said yes, think again. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond him, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Why did he have to be strengthened? Because it was hard. It was hard loving you. It was hard loving me. It was going to take a sacrifice. So he needed to be strengthened. It goes on. And being in what? Anguish. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Luke chapter 22, verse 39 to verse 44. Can I ask you this morning? Have you put that kind of effort into loving this family? And I'm not just talking to the person you may talk to every Sunday, or the person you go to breakfast with, or the person you show up Wednesday nights to a ball game with. I'm talking about the family. Have you put this effort in that God put in for you? We will know that we are maturing in our walk with God. We will know that we are being filled with the Spirit when we find ourselves loving this family like Jesus loved us. We must be willing to follow. Remember, he says, don't be unwise, but know what the Lord's will is. Well, this is the Lord's will. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And when we make that choice to obey this command, we will be able to do it. Because I can do everything through him, Jesus, who gives me strength. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Now that we have chosen to be controlled by the Spirit, what does that look like within the confines of the family? We see that in verses 19 to 21. And before you get upset with me, we'll look at that next week. All right? Our motto is to respect and obey God. The only way that this family will be the family that God wants us to be is when we choose individually to be that family member. When it comes to how to live the family, Jesus is our example. Stand with me this morning as we close by singing a song entitled,